go to Acts. We've been taking a look at Acts Alive, and we are in the book of Acts, chapter 2. We had a wonderful sense of the presence of God last week, and praise reports are people getting saved, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Isn't God good?
Yeah.
Isn't God good?
Yeah.
I said, isn't God good?
Yeah.
Amen. In the book of Acts, God is moving, and God is moving today as well. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, a reprover, the convictor of sin. He is present with us. We've come to Acts chapter 2, where we see the Pentecostal experience on indeed the day of Pentecost. That's what it refers to. And indeed, that is an experience that is still available today. Say amen.
Amen.
120 believers in the upper room wait for the promise of the Father, and the Holy Spirit falls upon them. Tongues of fire sit upon each of their heads. And these people are filled with joy and the knowing that God fulfilled His promise to them. But other people who heard what was going on ran around amazed, ecstatic, and confused. And they thought they were what? How many remember?
Drunk.
They thought they were drunk at Door of Grace at 10:30 in the morning. We said, no, that comes later in the Spirit. Just kidding. I just thought I'd see who was awake. Okay. The one who had before denied gives us the best testimony to the changing power at this early point of the Spirit of God in a life. Peter had denied the Lord. How many felt as we went through Luke together that internal shame, the brokenness of heart that Peter went through as he denied his Lord? You read it in the Gospels, and you know, in fact, the Scriptures are very clear. He went out and wailed loudly and sobbed and sobbed. And then you have the beauty of Jesus after he raises again, telling his disciples, go tell my disciples, remember? And Peter. And Peter is back among the fold, and Jesus ministers to him. And now we have this fantastic experience where the Holy Spirit is poured out on the day of Pentecost. And who stands up among them as their spokesman? Peter. Peter. What a glorious, wonderful, precious thing God does. From denial to declaration. From denial to declaration. The power of God is working in his life. Let's take a quick look through some of these scriptures this morning. Acts chapter 2, verses 22. Well, we'll start in verse 22. Men of Israel, Peter stands up and says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you. How? He answers, attested by God to you by miracles, by wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. I'm going to stop right there. God says Jesus is approved. Jesus was approved of by God in their midst. What does that word mean? That Greek word is epikadenemia, and it means to exhibit. Don't ask me to repeat the word. It simply means to exhibit, to demonstrate, to show, to mark. God marked to the earth that this was his son. He showed him off. Now, any of you have grandchildren you like to show off? God has a son, and he likes to show him off. And how many of you understand the work that Jesus is doing in our lives as sons and daughters of the Lord is to make us just like him so he can show us off? That's not an arrogant statement. That's not a proud statement. But God loves you, and God wants to use you to reach out to other people. So God's going to show you off. You understand that? God's going to look at you and say, this is my daughter, Carol. She's radiant for me. She's really neat. And he'll say things like, all of Door of Grace, you should come and talk to Carol before she leaves today. Don't let her leave, God would say to you, before Carol gets talked to by you. Say, you'll be here until 2:30. But God wants to show us off. And that's why nothing is done in secret. That's why we just don't do everything in secret. We bought a building. That's public. We're out here on 6 acres. That's public. We're putting signs down on the road. That's public. Why? Because God wants to show himself off through people. He's using his family to demonstrate himself. Jesus, approved by God. He was shown by God. Now, we live in Port Ludlow. I'm sure you're glad I finally figured that out. But Port Ludlow is a beautiful place. Do you understand there are a lot of people that say, well, I just go out to creation and I feel close to God. One of the signs in the last days that you have to be careful about is in the book of Romans, it talks about people who worship the creation rather than the Creator. Creation isn't to be worshiped. It's to be appreciated. It's beautiful. It's lovely. It's glorious. But what it's supposed to cause us to do is to look at it and go, wow, God, you did a great job. You're glorious. Master Creator, you're wonderful. You created Port Ludlow just so we could be here together. Isn't that cool of God? I think that's neat. So God wants to show off His family, His Son, and He did that for Jesus by miracles, wonders, and signs. We're going to go quickly on miracles, wonders, and signs. Miracles, that's the word dunamis, the Greek word miraculous power. He moved through Jesus in miraculous power. How many of you understand He wants to move today in miraculous power in His body? Amen. Through His church. The gifts of the Spirit are not dead. God is alive and well. Look at each other, say, God is alive and well. Doing miracles today. He showed off Jesus through miracles. He showed Jesus was approved through wonders. And that literally means a prodigy. Or He was a literal wonderment and caused people amazement. Hasn't God ever done anything that for your life or for somebody you know where you stop and you go, whoa. Come on, hasn't that ever happened? Even if you're not a believer here this morning, you don't have to shout it out. But I mean, even if you don't belong to Jesus, hasn't you ever seen anything that just plain amazed you? If not, you haven't lived enough. I mean, didn't it amaze you that Ronald Reagan got elected twice?
No.
No, of course. Nothing in politics should amaze us. That was a little joke. But he was a great man. I believe it. I believe he's a great man. Did he have flaws? Sure, but he's a great man. I'll tell you what about President Reagan. I loved to hear him give speeches. I was never more moved than at the 40th anniversary of Normandy. Was it the 40th? Yeah, I think it was the 40th anniversary of Normandy. To hear him give that speech, I sat and watched television and just cried. And I thanked God for a fantastic communicator. There's so many things. Anyway, Jesus moved through signs, through wonders. Sometimes there are things that amaze us, and God gets our attention through them, and He's after causing us to stop and appreciate Him. Let Him do something amazing for you this morning. All right, signs. He also did signs, and the sign literally means a mark. He put a mark on His Son that this was His Son. All right, now let's go on. He empowered Peter's message. We want to take a little bit of look at Peter's message, and I want you to see how Peter just worships the guests and visitors. I want you to see how Peter just placates and preaches a non-convicting message in his first message here by the Holy Spirit. Okay? I want you to see how all he is out to do is not offend people. How many think I'm kidding? Acts 2, verse 23. Him being delivered by the determined purpose, speaking of Jesus, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, what's the next word? You have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Now there's a feel-good message from Peter right off the bat, isn't it? I'd like to welcome you to our assembly of the church this morning. Holy Spirit's moving, glad you're here to see it. Don't you know you were the guys who crucified Jesus? You shouldn't have done that. Lawless. Powerful message here that he's preaching. And I believe in friendship evangelism. I believe in being sweet before the Spirit. But let's take a note this morning that God is trying to reach people for Himself. Don't you understand? You can never surrender to Jesus until you see that you need Him. You'll never understand that you need Him until you see that you're lost without Him as a sinner. I'm not a sinner! Okay, well, then just look at the anger you had when I used the word then. Okay, you're a sinner. Oh, I don't like that. Pride just flared up, right? No, the point is there's something in each of us that can go the wrong way. And until we understand how much we need Jesus, we'll never surrender to Him. So Peter is after letting people know Jesus is not here to beat you on the head, but you got to face the truth so you can surrender to this wonderful Lord. We don't need to soft pedal the fact that sin is wicked. Sin destroys our lives. The Greek word anomos, lawlessness, the implication of being wicked, without law, transgressor, going away from God. You turn against the law, you do contrary to God's purposes. And that spirit that was in each of us crucified Jesus. That's not anti-Semitic. It's not you Jewish people crucified Jesus. No, it's you, Jew, Gentile, no matter what your background, your sins crucified Jesus Christ. God delivered Jesus up. Then there was a glorious resurrection. The good news is that He died for your sins, and then He rose again. And Peter talks about that. Verse 24, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be held by that. How many are glad that death wasn't capable of keeping Jesus? That's what that means. Death wasn't capable of keeping or holding Jesus. Death is the final enemy to be destroyed. That's what the Bible says. Now, you can sit here strong as you want this morning, but if you don't really, truly believe in Jesus Christ, you don't really, truly know what's going to come when you die. You really don't know. And therefore, that means there's an insecurity. And therefore, that means there's an uncertainty. And therefore, that means you need to surrender to Jesus so you can be sure of where you're going when you die, because there's peace for you. There's a certainty that He wants. Death couldn't hold Jesus. So don't let death hold you. Jesus broke the chains of death so you and I could have life forever by Him. Death, as an enemy, was destroyed. But we see God's approval. God's approval. Death could not seize Him. That's literally what it means. It couldn't seize Him, couldn't bind Him, couldn't control Him. Aren't you glad for the resurrection of Jesus? Death couldn't bind Him up. All right, now Peter goes on to another phase. So we talk about you crucified Him, you got to see sin's wicked. Then he sees that death is dealt with. Sin leads to death. So there's sin. And there's death. Now there's resurrection. Now Peter deals with the crowd that he has in front of him. Do you understand that to Israel, David is the greatest king of their entire history? Do you understand that? David is still the one talked about today, even by Zionists who don't really have a Jewish religion or a Hebrew religion. They love David. King David was their worshiping king. He was the one Israel clinged to. Those of you, Peter is saying, who love David, David is still in the ground. David is still passed away. David was not resurrected again. But you need to understand, David, as a prophet, prophesied about a Messiah who was to come. His name is Jesus. He's just risen again. You crucified Him, but He's alive. He's moving here today. That's the point of what Peter is saying. Acts 2, verses 25 through 31. Acts 2, 25 through 31. David says concerning him, and this is a quote from Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. Psalm 16, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, David said. He is at my right hand that I might not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Then it goes on, verse 29. Men and brethren, Peter said, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. In Israel, in Jerusalem, there was a tomb of David. There was a place that was marked out in honor of David. So you have a very vivid illustration in front of these people where Peter's saying, David, the one you all love, he's still dead. So David couldn't have been talking about himself. David, as a prophet, was pointing to a Messiah who would raise again. And that Messiah is Jesus, whom you crucified. But He's come back to life. And this powerful moving of the Spirit of God is what was promised by Him. So you need to know, though you crucified Him, He's alive. He'll forgive you. He'll have mercy on you. It doesn't matter what you've done. Come to this Jesus whom you crucified. He's Lord. He's Christ. He's glorious. He's alive. He's well. That's what Peter was preaching to this crowd. They stood in amazement. watching these people speak in their languages and started testifying about Jesus. Now get a hold of their culture. What do you think was happening? It had been 50 days since Jesus had been crucified. Only 50 days. Do you not think that everybody in Jerusalem has probably spoken about Jesus in the last 50 days? Then amazingly, 3 days after the crucifixion, all these people go around saying, "He's risen. He rose again. He's walking among us." You might have even seen him in those 40 days. Don't you think the conversation was a buzz about Jesus? Don't you? Say amen or oh no. Say, "I think so." It was a buzz. The place was ablaze. It was cooking about Jesus. All of a sudden, here's something else. Man, can you imagine? Scratching your head. Don't you hope you would have been sensitive enough to accept the Messiah when he was on the scene? Can you imagine? Here's Jesus, and they crucify him. And that was an act of horror to most people that you can read in the scriptures where when they saw him walking down the road with his cross, the ladies were horrified. People were just, he was a beaten mess. But then he's risen again, and now you've got these people speaking in different languages, and he's risen again. What is going on in Israel? What's going on in my country? What's going on in my religion? I'll tell you what's going on. God moved in the scene, and he moved on the scene to turn your religion into a living, vital, breathing relationship with himself. God saw you. And he turned your hunger into reality through Jesus. There's credibility to this message. Listen to what Peter says. Acts 2, verses 32 through 35. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all, what's the word? Okay, now how many remember when Judas killed himself, he left and forsook his place? Remember what they did? We talked about it in the first chapter of Acts. What did they do? They did a lot, and a lottery, if you will, and raised up someone else to take his place. Remember what the key was for the original 12. Doesn't mean they're the only apostles by any means. But the original 12, what was the key? What was the qualifying factor for the person who took Judas's place? A living witness of all these things from the time Jesus came on the scene to his death and resurrection. Remember? All right, he says. So what you have is a first-hand account. You have an eyewitness account from a timid Peter who's now a bold man of God standing in front of them, empowered by the Spirit, totally changed. I mean, people might have even known, hey, this Peter denied the Lord. What's the deal? And here he is saying, men and brethren, you crucified him, but he's no longer dead. He's alive. We are witnesses to this. I have seen it myself. You can believe the report. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, verse 33, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. They weren't speaking in tongues silently. It wasn't moments of meditation in tongues. It was out loud. There was the moving of the Spirit upon this group of people. For David, he's still talking about David. David did not ascend into the heavens, but David himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. The Father says to the Son, job well done, it's finished. Come, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies my footstool. We've seen this Jesus, this one God raised up. This same Jesus has now given us the Holy Spirit. Then he says, verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus. Now, what's the next phrase? Please read it out of your Bibles, out loud. Wait a minute. I thought we weren't supposed to offend anybody. This Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Again, are you trying to blame me, Peter? No, but your sins are the ones that took Christ. And he did it willingly. He went willingly to the cross for your sins and mine. Stop denying it. Understand, I am a sinner. And when you see I am a sinner, then you can say, A sinner needs a Savior. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Amen. Now, that Savior is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one who ever went to a cross, beaten to a pulp, took your sins and mine upon himself, died, was buried, and rose again. There is no other leader of any religion on the face of this earth who has ever risen again. And it's factual testimony. That's how salvation starts. Now, doesn't mean 40 years from now we run around saying, I'm just a sinner who's never grown. That's not the point. But we are people who need a Savior. His name is Jesus. But no, notice, He is also Lord. He's not just Savior. He is Lord. This same Jesus has been made both, what? Lord and Christ. That word is kurios. The word is master. We've talked about it before. How many really like having a boss? Whoa. How many like having a really good boss? Jesus is boss. He's master. Lord. You know, there is a real revelation that has to break in on a life. When you surrender your life to Jesus, the word I just used was surrender. A lot of people think, if I just pray a quick little prayer, I've taken care of my life, I can go out, turn my back on him, do whatever I want to do, and someday on my deathbed, you know, I'll just be fine, I'm going straight to heaven. The scriptures clearly talk about a surrendered relationship to Jesus Christ as Lord. As, hard to say the word, isn't it? Boss. Who's boss? Who's in charge? I'd like to ask you the question this morning. Who owns you? Nobody owns me. I'm an American. I'm proud to be so. Who owns you? Somebody does. Somebody does. I own me. Well, that's fine until you get to the issues you can't control. How many of you know there's lots of issues you can't control all day long? You know, I'm just trying to extrapolate the point for you this morning. Lord means surrender. But this boss, this Lord, has the best plan for you and me. He knows exactly what it takes to make us just like diamonds. You know what it takes to make diamonds? Pressure. Temperature. Heat. You know, okay, all right. So you don't feel like a diamond this morning. You still qualify to be one because you feel like I do sometimes, a lump of coal, right? But he brings what he needs to pass to make it a beautiful diamond. That's what Lord's all about. Listen, there is a final authority in your life or mine. And as Christians, here's our final authority. And Jesus is our master. But he knows how to lead us. He knows what to do with us. This same Jesus died for your sins, but it's not just a quick little prayer. It's a surrender. Give your life to him. Let him guide you. You say, I'm too old for that. Oh, gee, you're never too old. I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago. I said, man, it's really cool when a 16, 17, 18-year-old gives their life to Jesus, got the whole journey up ahead. But you know what? It's fantastic when an 80-year-old gives their life to Jesus. Fantastic when a 5-year-old gives their life to Jesus. The issue is surrender to Jesus. It's never too late unless you just never do it. It might be too late if today's your last day, and you never know when your last day is, do you? Do you really? You got your death plan down to the minute, do you? No, he's in charge. Let him be your Lord. Salvation means forgive me for my sins, but it also means I surrender fully. Let me just use a quick illustration. 60 years ago today is Normandy. You had an invading army go in and take over a land and set up a new leadership and did away with the enemy of tyranny and death. Right? Guess what? That's what God does in our lives. The Holy Spirit hits the beaches and invades our heart. You ever feel like that? Ooh, Holy Spirit's convicting me here and here and here. He's hitting the beaches. But then he moves in and he's taken over the leadership of your life and mine. and he sets up a new authority and a new realm. There's got to be a new leader put in place. He is both Lord and Christ. All right, there's the message. Let's take a quick look at their response. Acts 2, verses 37 through 41. 37 through 41. Now, Peter wasn't cruel. He was simply factual. He wasn't trying to be harsh. He was simply telling truth. Let's see what happened in their response. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the brethren, the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Come on, have you never felt like that? What am I going to do now? What do I do? Lord, what do I do? How do I take the next step? Where do I turn? And they're looking at these guys who are confused, and they're seeing God move, and these timid men become powerful, and men and women, all of a sudden, they're no longer afraid. They're standing up. They're full of joy. And all of a sudden, they realize, I'm one who cheered for the Messiah going to the cross. What do I do? Peter's got an answer. And I want you to write this down. If you don't write anything else down in the message, I want you to write down three things that is a tripod of faith and foundation that we spend time on here in this church because the Scripture does. They asked him very carefully, what must I do? Now there is a three-part answer that Peter gives that is crucial if you're asking, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? Peter said to him, to them, repent. That word is metanoia. You got to think differently. You got to turn around. You got to feel differently about this. Oh, but I don't. I really like sin. Don't you know the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season? Or else why would anybody do it? Doesn't sin feel pretty good sometimes? Oh, don't look so holy at me. Come on. You don't go, no, only for you. I know you just a bad sinner. No, it sure feels good sometimes. But then it comes back and really causes you problems later. It turns around and bites you. I didn't say that, did I? It turns around and gets you, doesn't it? Sin messes you up pretty good, but it feels good on the journey until you can't get out of its snare, until all of a sudden you're full of guilt and you're full of shame. He says, you got to repent. You got to turn around. Repentance means I'm walking that way. Now I'm going to turn around and I'm going to walk the opposite direction. I was walking away from God. Now I'm going to walk to God. I'm going to repent. Foundational. Why do you talk so much about repentance in this place, Pastor Kev? Because the Bible does. Because the Bible does. If you think you're too far along to hear a message about repentance, you need to hear another message on repentance. Now smile at each other. It's true. Come on. There's something, no matter how far along you are in Jesus. I know I got lots of growing room left. Anybody can say amen? I look at Jesus and I can put my picture up next to Jesus and I can look and I can go, ooh, let's take that picture away. It doesn't quite look like him yet. Repentance. You got to turn around, change your thinking, change your mind, change your direction. And then when you do that, it'll change your life. Then there's a second part that he said. He said, okay, you need to repent. Now, there's a second part. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. The Greek word baptizo, to die like a garment, submerge or immerse. You got to go under that water to remit your sins, sins being separated from the sinner. Well, can I be forgiven when I just ask forgiveness? Yes, you can. But there is a washing away. There is a cleansing. There's a power in baptism. It is not just symbolic. There's something real. There's something vital. There's something dynamic. There's something waiting for you. If you've not had that experience, climb into the waters of baptism and let them remit your sins and fill you with power and fill you with life. Go ahead, preach it, Pastor Kev. Amen, amen. Baptism's powerful. I was baptized three times. Third time finally took, I guess. I'm not saying you got to get back in the waters and get baptized every time you turn around, but if you didn't understand that there was something more than just a symbolic baptism, if you didn't take a look at the Scriptures, because the Scripture says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, if you didn't know there's something real and live and powerful that He can do for you in the waters of baptism, oh, I got news for you. There's something great there for you. Now, did I just say to you, I'm going to get you all back in the tank? No, I didn't. But I will say to you, let your hunger for Jesus and to experience this get you back in the tank if that's where you need to be. So what do we talk about at Door of Grace? Repent. Be baptized. Now we can go home. No, no, no. I'm a lot more comfortable going home now. We don't want to talk about that third part. Do we? Do we? Rumble going on inside. It's got to come out. Third part. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. There's a moving and a power of the Spirit of God in your life and mine that emblazons you, emboldens you, empowers you, makes you alive, flame on for Jesus Christ. The old evangelist used to say, how do you get such big crowds? He said, all I do is what? All I do is set myself ablaze so they can come and watch me burn. It's really great to tell the story if you remember it. But they come and watch me burn for Jesus. The point is, the Spirit of God wants to dynamically get involved in your life. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Kev. I got the Holy Spirit when I believed. Yes, yes, you did. But there's more. Repent, be baptized, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. Well, now, wait a minute. Peter, just back up now. You mean you want me to act like you 120? Peter says, yeah. What does he go? What does he say? Wait a minute. Remember, the baptism, you need to just know, some people say. I don't. But some people say, there's only one gift and you might not get it. You might not get tongues. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just not for everybody. It's not for everybody. We don't force it on anybody, but it is for everybody. Let's listen to what the Scripture says. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all. I'm sorry. How many?
All.
Oh, come on. You didn't really say all, did you, Pete?
Yep.
To all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now, don't you think you're starting to squirm a little bit? Wait a minute. Doesn't that have any wiggle room there? I said, what do we do? He said, hey, guys, ladies, men, women, children, come to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. That's where it starts. Then get baptized in water and let everybody know you're a disciple. Let them change your heart. And then, by the way, receive the Holy Spirit. It'll literally transform your life. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Do you think that generation was worse than ours today? No. Then those, I have a final point. Then those, just one more point. Just want to get your attention on those. Then those, I this is really important as you take a look at a heart attitude in the Lord. Then those, you just got to understand this last point's really important. Okay, say it. Then those who gladly receive. Now, what was that? Those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 were added to them. Folks, when we come to looking at walking with God, and when we come to taking next steps of growth with him, our heart attitude needs to be exactly what they did. These guys weren't sitting there, heels dug in, saying, I don't want any part of this stuff. They were hungry for God. They wanted to know what their next steps were. They wanted to know what to do and where to go and how to do it. They wanted to know what to do. How can my life get better? How can I be more on track with God? I don't know what to do. And he said, repent, be baptized, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And they said, oh, is that what we're to do? Okay, I'm ready. Now, when we come to church, there's a heart attitude. A heart attitude. Okay, I'm ready. Do what you're going to do, Lord. Do it in me. Do it through me. Okay, do it to me. Whatever you want to do, I just want to see you do it. I just want to be a part of what you're doing, Lord. There were 3,000 hungry people who had gathered together, who loved God as best as they knew how. They were following religion, maybe as best as they knew how. And all of a sudden, something happens, and they go, oh, Peter, what do we do? And he tells them, he gives them an answer. And they go, okay, then that's what I'm going to do. And the Church of Jesus Christ, the New Testament church that is still alive and well, was birthed as 3,000 souls. It doesn't say 3,000 people started attending at a building. 3,000 souls were added. God adds to the church, one at a time, hungry people who are willing to say, yeah, yes, I'll repent, I'll get baptized. I'll get baptized in the Holy Spirit. A three-part foundation for New Testament church life to be Acts alive. Let's stand. Dan, would you come? And let's go to, back to the key of G. And let's finish with More Than Anyone Else again this morning. If you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus, come on up front. I'd be honored to pray with you as you give your life to Him. If you need the healing power of Jesus in your life, let us pray for you. We believe the Scripture teaches us on laying on of hands, anointing with oil, and we see God move in miracles. If you'd like to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, come on up. Let us pray with you and join us in prayer and watch God move. He's doing great things. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. More than anyone else, I want to see Jesus.